Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buffalo Bills Football Tuesday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Rodgers going to go under center here, two receivers left, one to the right, quick snap. It's a flea flicker, back to Rodgers, looking deep, and he's dropped for the sack. Daquan Jones says, hello, Mr. Rodgers. Back to pass, Bills are on the blitz, and A.J. Epenesa has arrived in Mr. Rodgers' neighborhood. It's another sack. Snap to Rodgers, handoff to Hall, and he's walloped in the backfield by Greg Rousseau and DeJuan Smoot. A loss of one on the play. My goodness. Rodgers looking to load up. Fires deep. Rainbow down the field looking for Mike Williams. And it's intercepted. Taron Johnson. Welcome back. A humongous interception by the nickel corner.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Victory Tuesday. Buffalo Bills Football Monday slash Tuesday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Josh pointed out the Bills' social media account had a nice chirp slash tweet. Great day for New York sports, Yankees, Mets, Bills. Not bad. Not bad at all. Joe's out today. He might be waking up. He went to the game last night. Got a road win with a lot of you that might have been there as well. 803-0550-1888-552-550. Wide open segment here. We'll talk with Sal at 8 and Chris Brown at 8:30. I like Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. I like it. That one works for me. Not a bad call. Not at all. The Bills were pressuring Rogers a lot of the day. He takes a lot of hits. 23 of 35, 294, two touchdowns, sacked three times. His QBR was a 57. Allen's was an 85. QBR, of course, taking scrambles and rushing touchdowns. And the Bills get 97 yards from Ray Davis on the ground. 34 from Ty Johnson. I mean, they had a pretty good day running the ball. Johnson went 4 for 34. Bills had two running backs with over a 10-yard carry, each over a 10-yard carry. Breece Hall got loose for 6.3 yards per carry, including a 42-yard scamper that was stopped by Taylor Rapp. So taking your calls, your evaluations, you know, what you thought. It was a ridiculous game. I'm going to ask a question, and then I'll get to some calls here. And this is kind of, I'll ask if anybody wants to take up this case. Am I supposed to believe that Aaron Rodgers is better at Hail Marys than another quarterback? Am I supposed to believe that? He now has completed a handful of Hail Marys. Is it not just luck? Is it not just he's played for 100 years? That's a part of it, right? Most guys would have retired by now. How many Hail Marys should you hit in a 16-year career? Is it four? Is it two? I don't buy any sort of Aaron Rodgers is good at this. The Bills have to be more aware of him for this. The best thing you can do on a Hail Mary, especially if it's Aaron Rodgers, is send a fast person to tackle him. A very, very surprising number. Next Gen Stats, they do completion probability, right? The separation of a player and the throw and where it is. The Next Gen Stats put the completion probability of the Hail Mary at 15%, which it kind of seems high to me. Shouldn't a Hail Mary be 1%? But it was 15%. And I mentioned in the first hour, last time the Bills got hit for a Hail Mary, it was Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins. And if you want to tell me I don't want to spend too many players chasing around Kyler Murray, okay, I can actually listen to that. He gets away from everybody. Rodgers, just rush the passer. Blitz. Blitz and play this big coverage where no one's going to get over the top of you, and I guess you're worried about a field goal, but man, I can't believe you would rush two. It never crossed my mind. Three would have been bad. Two. Rodgers, before uncorking that ball, had time to turn around and look behind him. Almost as if he's saying, there have to be more people here, right? There's only two? Where is everybody? I got all these guys protecting me. There's only two people here? All right. Guess I'll throw it. 803-0550. Other than that, I thought, you know, the Bills played pretty well. Rodgers did look decent, but the Bills made plays when they need to. And I want to make a point about Taron Johnson and Terrell Bernard here. Because the Bills have been, from the offensive standpoint, right, it's been a year of talking about how they're better by subtracting a great player who was too much about himself, if that's the second half of that narrative. They're better because they're all doing less. And what happened on the defensive side of the ball in the last 2 weeks is a reminder that great players make great plays. Terrell Bernard immediately goes in the lineup, and what does he do? He is a great player. And Taron Johnson, the same. You'd been missing these guys for a couple of weeks. The Bills have a nice player development system. They have guys that go in. Dorian Williams plays pretty well. When Milano's out, you know, guys go in. They're okay. They can get through. And then the great player comes back. And what do you see? Great plays. That's what Bernard gives you. That's what Taron Johnson gives you. When Ed Oliver comes back into the lineup, Ed Oliver's a very, very good player. When he comes back, if he comes back in time, you'll see the difference. And applying that to the offense, to me, is a big part of looking at this going forward. I have a few callers that have said already they think the Bills still need their help on offense, and I would agree that Allen is doing a lot of it. And Ray Davis was a nice find yesterday. Nearly 100 yards rushing. Had a big, big day for them. Was a big part of their win. So never forget, you know, the great players, what do? They make great plays. And this Bills defense for many, many years has had great players, and we are starting to get the next window, the next batch of those players. Bernard's in his second year of being a great player. Maybe Taylor Rapp is starting to really show us what he's about to be for this team. Rapp signed a one-year deal to come in here and kind of just be a guy in the mix, and then got extended for three, and right now I think he looks pretty darn good. Played a heck of a game. So great players make great plays. And if you want to win the whole thing, you're going to need that. And they've got some of those on defense. Need to find more breakout players, more contributors on the offensive side. But overall, great game. I mean, your quarterback is one of those players, of course. 803-0550 on the Hail Mary, on the penalties, on the run game. We'll get some calls in. Johnny in Buffalo. Hey, Johnny, good morning.
Hey, good morning. You know, great win last night. Feels good to have the division pretty much locked up. You know, I think there's a lot to... our offense is moving the ball pretty easily in the first half. Rushing game was great. Love to see Ray Davis get a good game from him. The referees and the penalties obviously were atrocious and really took the flow out of any of the Bills' flow out of the game, everything like that. Hail Mary, I mean, look, those are luck plays. I chop it up to luck. Do I think McDermott could have done better? I've been very critical of him in the past. Of course. I mean, rush more people. Put Keon Coleman on the field.
Yes.
to go knock on a ball. I mean, that's what he's there for.
Yeah,
to go up and make plays.
Listen, Johnny. Somebody wrote to me. What about Keon Coleman and Mac Hollins? And usually, I would want to say I don't want guys playing out of position. But the Bills made a point to get big, huge receivers. And I would subscribe to Keon Coleman being back there as being a good idea.
I absolutely agree. Mac Hollins, not so much. That guy can't track a ball to save his life. But I loved watching Josh there. Having Bernard back is huge. I mean, he's an all-world player, and you can tell the difference when he's on the field. But again, last night, another glaring weakness of this team, still wide receiver. If you walked out of that game and said, oh, no, we're good, I don't know what you're watching, because we have guys who can't get open. And I know Shakir is still hampered by that ankle injury.
Yep.
But what happens if, you know, I think a big part of it is depth, too. what happens if Shakir goes down again for longer, or Kincaid goes out, or, you know, your gadget guy in Curtis Samuel, who really doesn't do much other than be a gadget guy, you know, he goes down. What are your options? And I don't want to see more MVS. I don't want to see anything else, or, you know, more Mac Hollins out there. Let go get a guy. I mean, it's so glaring that we have this need. Go get Adams. Go get Cooper. Go get Shaheed, go get Deontay, go get somebody in here who can help you make it to the next level, and give Josh a guy who can help, you know, Kincaid succeed in the middle, help maybe open up Dawson Knox a little bit. I don't know. Do something so that, you know, we can get more flow on offense in the passing game. But overall, happy we won the division last night pretty much.
Thanks, Johnny. Yeah, I mean, the division is they've got a commanding lead, and the Jets' schedule is not tough. Here's one thing about receiver. If there's one team that came out of yesterday's game, I think, that needs a receiver, both of them, sure. But Mike Williams for the Jets is not working. It's not going to work. That's a game where they come out of it and say, Aaron Rodgers goes into the GM's office and says, you see what Mike Williams gave me yesterday? Make that Davante Adams. Do it now. He had 0 for 0, Mike Williams. He got targets. He got 0 for 0. Like, they need help there. I wonder if yesterday's game didn't push the Davante Adams to the Jets conversation more. Now they need it more. Now they're 2 games back. They're fighting for their playoff lives. They're all in to try and do something. I mean, we could talk about the Jets being all in to win the Super Bowl. They have the longest drought in all of sports. They'd probably like to shed that. And they have Aaron Rodgers at the helm. I don't know if they can do it without getting him a little bit more help. Because if they go up against good defenses, you know, Garrett Wilson is great, I think. And past that, you know, Lazard's a contributor. Breece Hall has shown that he can do some stuff. But I think that the Mike Williams we saw yesterday was going to, well, might push the Jets to go further in on Davante Adams. For the Bills, it's going to be the only thing that'll really get anybody off of this, I think, Johnny, is if Coleman starts to really, really blossom. And he's, you know, he had some nice plays yesterday. There's one catch down the sideline, the hand gets in, you'd like to see him, right? That's his kind of ball. Hey, contested catch, get up and get that. So if Coleman starts to be a bigger contributor, maybe these calls come in less about needing help at receiver, but I really think that's the only thing that'll do it, is Coleman. 803-0550. Thanks for the phone call. Steve in Wheatfield. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good morning. Sorry, I was on speaker
there. You're good.
So I had a couple things. I was I actually can't watch the game when it's Monday night because I get up way too early on Tuesdays. So I watched the condensed version this morning, and it was, you know, it was a game. It was quick. You know, I in the condensed version, which is like 35 minutes, was like, are you kidding me with these flags? Because, I mean, it's just like, it made the condensed version feel long.
Yeah.
Like, that's how bad it was. You know, and my thoughts are, you know, first I was thinking, I listened to Amy Lawrence this morning too. She's on before you guys. And she played a clip of Rodgers talking about that roughing the passer that got called in Epinesa.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, that's not a penalty. And it was on, like, he's the one who got smoked by Epinesa. And he's like, yeah, that's not a penalty. That's a sack.
Yep.
So that's just, I mean, that has been for years. I feel like everyone's like, are you kidding me? Like, what are they supposed to do? So that's that. The other thing you just mentioned previously before the break, you were talking about that Allen play as he's running to his right, which is, you know, I feel like it's his signature thing. But to complete that pass to Ray Davis, I don't know how many yards it was for.
Yeah, like, it's from his own, what, like his own 6 maybe all the way to the 50, I guess. Yeah.
You know, and I feel like that was like overshadowed, you know, it was just kind of like, Allen just made that pass to Ray Davis. Like, that's an unbelievable throw. And he did it to Shakir a couple weeks ago against the Ravens. And he just, like, he does these plays every week that I feel like we've gotten used to that. We're, you know what I mean? Like, we're kind of used to his incredibleness that we're just like, oh, that's Josh Allen.
Yep.
You know, but it was really, really cool to see. And especially to running back that he made that play to. So really, really good to see. I will take a win in MetLife Stadium any day of the week. Don't care how it looks. wins are wins. Two games up on the Jets, like everyone's saying, it looks like the AFC East is ours to lose again. So let's go get it. And Jeremy, good luck the rest of the week, and have a great rest of your day.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. You know, the fact that it's Ray Davis makes me think, no matter when he's scrambling, when Allen's doing, which he does a lot, he's looking deep. It doesn't matter who it is. It's who's the farthest. That's who I want to throw it to. And this is, that's in his soul, right? Go back to the hilarious throw to Pat DeMarco against the Texans in the playoff game. He wasn't exactly rolling in that one, but the Shakir play against the, who was Shakir against? Arizona, no.
The Ravens.
The Ravens, thank you. The only big play they hit against the Ravens, thank you. The only big play they hit against the Ravens. What did he do? He rolled right and he looked deep. And who did he find? The guy that knows, you know what, he's probably going to throw this deep. And this time it's not, hey, Keon Coleman's down there, I'm going to wing it to Keon Coleman. Or, hey, I'm going to, that's Mac Hollins down there. It's Ray Davis. I'm throwing it 50 yards to a running back. He did it earlier against the Dolphins. Rolling right, throw to Ty Johnson. Why? He was the farthest. So, not a lot of yak on that play, but a lot of yards. And I think that's something I'm always thinking about with Allen. It's one of the reasons, as we talk about how they can best support him, you know, you make the point that we're kind of used to these plays of greatness, and I totally agree. I never want to take it for granted where I think I can just surround him with whatever. I need to give him the best I can possibly give him because he's pulling out greatness, and I'd love other greatness to be there with him. And for the Bills, that is going to be someone that finishes these plays. I mean, Davis did make the catch. Shakir did make the catch. But I know Allen is supposed to throw these screens and get the yak, and a couple of these screens yesterday were kind of rough. They love to throw them. They don't always look pretty. I think the quarterback is best served when he is looking downfield and winging it downfield. That's who he is. Rolling out right. Where do his eyes go? 40 yards down the field. He's going to start there and work his way back. And whoever's the farthest, that's where the ball's going to go more often than not. Mike in Pennsylvania up next. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jeremy. Yeah, the thing that stood out to me, other than Ray Davis finally getting his opportunity to shine, which was great to see. I've been, you know, chomping at the bit to get this guy on the field more, but good for him on a primetime game to play so well. But the play of the offensive line and just some of the blocks and the strength that I've seen from Spencer Brown was just unbelievable. What a difference a year's made, because I was ready to cash that guy in maybe a year and a half ago. And just to see him dominate and protect Allen's, you know, the right side of Allen is phenomenal.
Well, something, Mike, it's funny. Like this matchup, Deion Dawkins openly hates the Jets, and I think we've come to learn that it's Michael Clemens that he hates. He tweeted out a video of, you know, like a wrestling ring, a WWE elbow drop, and it's his face dropping an elbow on Michael Clemens of the Jets. What the Jets do, this is sometimes good, sometimes bad. The Jets bring out the Bills' desire to be mean up front, and they were mean in this game. They pushed the Jets around, right? Offensively, the game plan running the ball in this game is about as good as you could see the Bills look. That first drive, it's ramming it right down, right through the Jets' defense. And whether that's Spencer Brown or Deion Dawkins, like they...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
See the Jets, and they want to get nasty. And Dawkins took a penalty. he doesn't like Michael Clemens. And I'm pretty sure that's who it was. I looked at the face, and I went to the Jets roster. I'm pretty sure it's Michael Clemens. All right, 803-0550. Mo in New Jersey on Victory Tuesday. Hey, Mo, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Always nice to call on the Victory Tuesday. I have been a loss. I mean, I'm not as high on the win as I would have been low if we would have lost, but I'll take it. A couple of things I want to talk about. First things, I love the effort all the guys put in offensively, but there's still something that needs that's left to be desired from the offense, especially from our wide receivers. I know a couple of callers ago, he said the same exact thing I wanted to say, that I just think we need to go get somebody to help this offense because what we have is just not going to do it. Like, I don't think MVS showed up on the stat sheet at all. I give Curtis Samuel some credit. He has some nice plays in the game, but I still think we need somebody, a true one, that can take the top off of a coverage and help get some of that stuff underneath more wide open. There was a pass that I think it was to Kincaid that Josh missed, out in the flat. But it was an example of where if a receiver could have pulled the defender even further, maybe he could have laid it up. Whatever, it is what it is. And the other thing is, I love, like you were just talking about, I love seeing that mean streak from the guys, from the offensive line especially, but that crew last night, they took the saying, you can call a holding on every play, way too literally.
Yeah.
And it could kill the flow of the game. But the other thing is, you got to be smart. Like, you can't take a penalty on 3rd and 10 in between two quarters. Absolutely destroyed that drive. Now, obviously we had a couple of penalties before that hurt, false starts and not covering up the end of the line. But, that's it. Especially in a tight, shouldn't be that tight. Stupid penalty. Like, I don't know what happened. Didn't really show what Deion Dawkins did to get a 15-yard penalty.
Thanks, Mo. They did show a little bit, what the lights are off. They're walking from one side of the field to the next as they're doing the quarter change. It didn't look to me like he was alone in what he did. I don't know if it was the language. What he did, I don't know. I mean, but we know there's a history there. I wonder if the officials are looking for that. They were looking to throw a lot of flags. 803-0550 and 1-888-552-550. I had something you mentioned there about needs and I know what it was. The Bills, whether this is Joe Brady or Brandon Bean, and this is going to be maybe nitpicky, maybe. But the idea of positionless football and hybrid players that can do a lot of things, that's all well and good. But you're never going to convince me that Dawson Knox out wide is a good idea. You're never going to convince me, ever. I think when I see you line up like that, if I'm a defense and I see you line up like that, I think, okay, this side of the field is dead. They're not coming over here. They're just trying to make this 10-on-10. And, okay, maybe that's part of the strategy, but I would think I want someone over there that I have to fear. Dawson Knox out wide. I mean, last year it's Dawson Knox, Latavius Murray. I get Ty Johnson out wide. I mean, Ray Davis did catch a pass down the field, and I get that. That's fine. But I feel like there are limitations to this positionless football as opposed to hyper specialists that would house call one if they get one. And the Bills are in the market for explosive plays. They got a couple in this game. So, like I said, a little nitpicky, but for those of you that say, you want more weapons, you want help at receiver, I'm still there. I get it. Every time Dawson Knox is lined up at receiver, I'm thinking, oh, that's where I'd like another receiver, whoever it is, or just one of the actual receivers on the team. 803-0550. Big win. Good win for the Bills. Taking your calls. It's Victory Tuesday. The East looks like it runs through Buffalo yet again. Looking for a fifth straight division title. Next up, the Titans and some Sunday routines, which will be nice. Jeremy and Joe. Joe's out today. He was at the game. He's back tomorrow. Taking your calls here on WGR.
Here's the snap. Handoff goes to Hall, coming around the right side. Knifing into the backfield is Terrell Bernard for a huge tackle for loss. It's a loss of 5. 6 on the play clock. Allen making a check. 4, 3 on the play clock. Here's the snap. Allen going to fake it and run it himself. And he outflanks the defensive end, and he's got the first down. 1:38 left, and Josh is feeling it.
Josh Allen with what we'll call the play of the game, icing it for the Bills on that scramble that he called his own number. He said they called their best pass play, and then he ran it, which you take that as far as you want to. We called our best pass play, and then I ran it. Josh Allen running. Usually works. Good morning. It's Victory Tuesday. Jeremy White with you. Sneaky Joe's off today. He was at this game yesterday. Crazy game. Every dumb thing that could have happened, happened. We got a doink, two doinks, and both doinks went out and didn't go in because they could have. I mean, the Bills probably could have lost this game. It would have felt like a very stupid loss. I don't know how if the Jets feel like they let one get away or they let one that was getting away from the Bills get away from them. But the Jets are, and the defense, after 5 weeks, had some really impressive numbers, and I don't think they had too good of a game against the Bills. I mean, they ran the ball effectively, the Bills did, and Josh Allen was efficient, did the job, got breakdowns, and did what he had to do. 803-0550, our phone number, 1-888-552-550. So, get more calls in, sales coming up top of the hour, arrow ups, arrow downs, all that good stuff. David in Cleveland is next up. Hey, David, good morning.
Hey, good morning. People have already sort of touched on a lot of the issues I was going to call in about the receiver train, but I think you started to talk about a question regarding the Bills' run defense and sort of raising questions as to what that could mean going forward. And yeah, one of the reasons I'm concerned about it is because the way the Bills are built. The old Bills in the 2020-21 season, explosive plays, score a touchdown in 60 seconds. So you didn't really care if the other team was gouging you for big runs. But the way the Bills are built now, their defense is structured. They're giving up big runs, and they're allowing teams that are even lesser to them
stay in,
the game. And yep, the Bills can't counter that with their counterpunch of, gosh, heaving the ball down 60 yards and scoring a touchdown is not there anymore. So I think Brandon Bean and McDermott have to ask themselves at this point of the season, who do we want to be? If we want to be that slug-it-out team, then we got really major concerns on the run defense. If we want to step it up, take it up a notch and try to get Josh the explosive play down the field, then I'm not as worried about the defense. Just wanted to get your take on that.
Yeah, David, I couldn't agree with you more. You made exactly a point that I've got written down to bring up today, which is seemingly every year we get a little bit of, the Bills aren't great at stopping the run, and I just never care because they're going to go out and score 35. It doesn't matter. You can make a team one-dimensional by scoring points. And they've done that this year. They did that to Jacksonville. They did that to Miami. You go out and you score your points, they're going to stop running it. And the way this offense operates now, I think it's different. This offense is still good because it's quarterbacked by Josh Allen. But it's not as, I don't think, terrifying as it has been in its peak form. And that keeps teams in games. And when teams are in games, when it's close, they're going to be multidimensional. You are no longer making them only a pass team. You make a team one-dimensional with how you can score your points. And I tend to agree. So what do you want to do here? Do you want to not worry about the run defense that much because you're going to get Ed Oliver back and you're just going to find your way through it? Or do you go out and get somebody to help that situation? Do you add a weapon and say the best way to stop teams from running on us is to make it feel like they can't run because they've got to keep up with us? And the Bills offense, you know, it's good. I'm sure we'll see lots of numbers. They do what they've done in the last couple of years, maybe the last 2 years, which is run up the score on a couple teams and then win some close games. And it ends up looking like, you know, your point differential, the Bills are a plus 39. That's pretty good. It's not the best in the league, but they've scored 165 points. The Ravens have more. That's it in the AFC. That's it. The Commanders have more. And that's it. The scoring offense, they're third. But I'm with you. I still tend to agree. I think the way that they are built currently, they're more likely to be in close games than years past. And that means chaos. That means, holy cow, you almost lost to the Jets. That means that Houston felt like a game you could have stolen. I think that they're going to play a lot of close games this year. And your take on the run defense, I would just line right up behind it. One of the ways to combat that is to be better offensively, again, even though they're third in scoring. So it's kind of a tough bar to shoot for, but I'm with you. Mark in Lancaster. Hey, Mark, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jeremy. How you doing? Love your show.
Thanks. Thanks for calling.
A win is a win, and I get all that. But McDermott's decision-making is horrible. The end of the half totally took the momentum out of that game. That game wasn't as close as the score indicates. We're talking 20 to 10 at half with the ball. Granted, we missed the field goal. But like you just mentioned, that game turns into a one-dimensional where we can pin our ears back. And I really believe that Rodgers would have threw more picks and that game wouldn't have been as close as it was if he goes to his basic defense. Why you rush two people is beyond me. Even Rodgers made a comment that he was surprised that the Bills rushed two. You think we would have learned from the 13 seconds.
Yep.
And he says in his post-game interviews, oh, we'll learn from this. He hasn't learned anything. We did it last week. We did it again. And this team is winning despite our coaching, and it's going to come and nip us again. You know, you talk about accountability with players. There's got to be accountability at the coaching staff. This team is winning, and this coaching staff is kind of putting us in bad situations with their decision-making.
Yep. You know, thanks, Mark. Bill Belichick, I was just listening to the Manning cast. I'll have to go back and watch the Manning cast because I'm getting, you know, you get Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, and Bill Belichick reacting in real time to all these things. And on the Hail Mary, Belichick says a couple things, and he doesn't exactly go all in on McDermott. I wouldn't say anything like that. He does say, as the play is being looked at and the first replay goes through, Belichick says, you know, Buffalo's had some trouble with closing out and plays like this, to which if you're a Bills fan, you say like, mm-hmm. And then he points out how it's a tough situation. It's a tough spot for the defense because if you blitz, then they throw the quick out, and they're in field goal range. Well, on a windy night like that, maybe you take your chances with a field goal. But I think the bigger point is, to what you're talking about, Mark, is there's always a reason. They could have done something else. Fine. Plan for all of it. You called a timeout. There's always a timeout. There's always a chance to discuss it. Which, first off, I mean, that might be a pet peeve for many of you out there. But you're always talking about it and then still not prepared or still not executing properly. And that's frustrating because in close games like this, granted, this is the end of the half. The Bills are not going to use that timeout. What if this is the end of a game where it's fourth and whatever and you might want a timeout for your offense on the other side? You're always using these timeouts defensively for an extra look, and it is frequently not helping. Sometimes it's working against you. So there's always an excuse. There's always a reason. Well, the quick out could have been a field goal. Okay. Could have been a how long field goal? A 50-yard field goal? I got to be afraid of a 50-yard field goal? I don't know. I don't have the answer for you. It just seems like that should be a bread and butter, easy defensive play. And they make plays like that. Just like, I mean, whatever, I'll say it. Closing out 13 seconds on the road in the playoff game should be easy. It should not be, well, they could have done this. They could have. It should just be something you can do. And not giving up a Hail Mary is supposed to be easy. And they make it hard. Call a timeout and still give it up to not Malik Nabers, not Justin Jefferson, to Alan Lazard. It's just, it's rough. It's pretty rough. That said, hey, good win. The defense gave up 3 points in the second half. Without that Hail Mary, they give up what? A touchdown early, and then it's a cruise. And raise your hand if you feel like that is a new experience, or at least a new reality. You're ready for that. When a team goes down the field on the Bills early, and whether it's a touchdown or a field goal, how many of you are watching the game saying, like, you know what? This is actually kind of what happens. Sometimes a team will script their first drive, do well, the Bills take a look at that, and then they lock things down. That happens all the time. I no longer get all that worried about an early drive that has success. It does not mean that team's going to have success all day. McDermott, Bobby Babich, to their credit, like they, whether it's making adjustments or finding their rhythm, early success against the Bills and then lock down. That's what happened against Houston also. They shut them down in the second half. Nico Collins' injury might be a factor there, but still. So, 803-0550 and 1-888-552-550. Belichick didn't go after him all the way. He did say, I'd call some sort of coverage that offers this and this. 803-0550. It is Buffalo Bills Victory Tuesday. Nice win for the Bills. Up next, Tennessee. They are the biggest favorite on the board. Sunday, 1 o'clock. 8.5-point favorites. Sal, top of the hour. More of your phone calls. 803-0550 on WGR.
Allen takes the snap. Back to pass. Looking left. Has time. Now has to roll out of the pocket. Flags fly in the secondary. Might be holding. Allen heaves it down the field where he's got Ray Davis, who comes up with the catch at midfield. Holy mackerel, Ray Davis, the rookie, with an acrobatic play into Jets territory.
A scramble drill, those are things you don't take for granted when he gets loose, that what we call a scramble drill, the patterns that match up and where he's going, his scrambles, mobility in those situations, got some completions off him as well. So we practiced that this week. Joe did a great job making sure we were getting that in practice this week, and then you saw the execution of it.
Keep practicing the scramble drill. It's a big part of their offense right now. Jeremy White, Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Victory Tuesday. It is Buffalo Bills Football Monday on a Tuesday. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. On the other side, we'll get some calls in with you and with Sal Capaccio as he joins us to recap the game. Chris Brown at 8:30. That slice of audio from Sean McDermott brought to you by Picasso's Pizza, your game day tailgating headquarters. Back with Sal and your calls next.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.